You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new Signature Wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat based on average 6-inch sub.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
tip pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
It's time now for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. Now, here's Grouchy.
Are you ready for us to be strong? Are you ready? Are you ready for us to be strong? Are you ready? Let me know you're ready to be turning in the people who cannot be afraid of us. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready?
I was wondering if he was going to hold my glass up. Good evening, everybody. It is great to be back with you. I am the Grouch, your host, and welcome to the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show on KLRN Radio, your home for conservative talk. So before we get rolling, I got to remind you that coming up after me, PolitiBunny and Ordy Packard will be reigning supremely on FUBAR, One Nation Under Foo, and they will be followed by Robinson and Wright, and that will be followed by America Off the Rails. So you got 4 hours of the fastest conservative talk you're ever going to find anywhere, so do yourself a favor and stay right here with us all night long. We'll do our best to make it worth your while. And you can do your best to make it worth our while. And we'll see how that works out before the end of the night. How about that? I see we got some faces congregating in the chat room. I see Al and Ron and Ordy. I feel like I'm on Romper Room looking inside the little mirror. Good to see you guys in chat. I see that the rest of the denizens have not arrived yet. We'll give them some time to see. Maybe chat lives do suck. Who knows? anyway, I know Bunny gives them hell. Boy, I love it too. I might start, though, because why not, right? Well, look, anyway, before we get rolling into what I had prepped for tonight, which is going to be, I think, okay. I think we'll be able to get through the hour without running out of material. But we need to cover this because this caught me this morning, and this whole stupid cancel my debt hashtag that's been running around on Twitter was addressed by a friend of mine, and she doesn't even know that I'm about to do this. So, Tuber Frog, Tina, this one's yours. Addressing the cancel my debt, this thread caught me today, and I retweeted it, and I have had so much, and I don't even know if Tina's getting to see the feedback on this or not, but I've had such good feedback from people talking about how great this was. I felt the need to share it with you guys. So I'm going to read her thread, and you can read this yourself. It's on Twitter, and her handle is at Tuber Frog. That's TUEBORFROG. Says, my Wednesday wisdom, thoughts, / thread. I understand there is an issue with the cost of college, the wanky policies of loan institutions, and how they worked hand in hand to create the issue of non-affordable higher education. However, cancel my debt is no solution. Cancel my debt is a short-term solution that will piss everyone who's paid for their college, debt, kids' college, right the hell off. It will also make it easier for similar campaigns to gain a foothold. Hello, slippery slope. Policy changes are what we need, and we need people to start teaching their kids at a very young age how to navigate choosing and training for a career. She says she's teaching her kids that they don't necessarily have to go to college, but so many of a previous generation did. There is a huge gap in the skilled trades and excellent opportunities to make a lot of money with training that is a lot cheaper and a lot less time intensive than college. And she took an obligatory wave at Mike Rowe Works. Can't blame her there. Mike Rowe should have been all over this too, by the way. Shame on you, Mike Rowe. You should be showing my friend some love here. She's also teaching her kids that there is often not an alignment between a vocation that provides a viable income and your passion. Choose a field in which you can earn an income you prefer, and let music, history, or even social justice be what you do in your spare time. Her kids also know about borrowing money and paying it back, and the work that goes in for that. They know if they choose to borrow money, it's their personal responsibility to pay it back and not whine about having to do it or blaming someone else that they had to borrow it in the first place. She says her sister raised kids with these philosophies. Her 22-year-old niece just graduated debt-free with a BS in nursing and is making in the mid-50s. Not bad for 22 years old. Her nephew is in a similar situation, but is on to grad school, so it's possible it takes planning and hard work, not socialistic policies. Tina, I can't agree with you more. This was brilliant. I wish that we had had time to get you on air so that we could actually go through this a little deeper and get into more depth with the topics. But I don't know. It is what it is. It borrows me or bothers. It pains me badly that we have to actually listen to people whining about the consequences of their own actions. It reminds me, I don't know. Did you guys see the news story? Yesterday, day before, something like that? The woman on campus in North Carolina that was arrested for stealing a sign from a protester. Yeah, they were there protesting abortion. And she walked up to one of the people, ripped the sign from his hands and walked off with it. Well, the police arrested her, and the video went viral. And it showed, you know, she was doing everything in her power to whine and complain. And she did everything except take that personal responsibility that Tina was talking about. And folks, if you've listened to this show for any amount of time, you know I'm a huge proponent of personal responsibility. And our nation needs so much more of that. Welcome to chat, Varick. Good to see you. And we also have another serious issue we have to take up tonight. Apparently, there was a huge debate raging today. How huge? Right now, the poll is 800 votes strong, and there's 17 hours left to vote on it. But the question is, which dessert is superior? The chocolate chip cookie skillet, which I was unfamiliar with. When I found out what it was, I had to swing my vote the other way. And the other choice is the molten lava cake. And now right now, the molten lava cake is in the lead, but you know, I've had the molten lava cake before, long before I started my fitness stuff. I don't know, probably 10 years ago, I had a molten lava cake, but, I had never heard of this chocolate chip cookie skillet. And apparently what they do is they cook a big, soft chocolate chip cookie in an iron skillet and put a small mountain of vanilla ice cream on top of it to serve it. And like I said, that's new to me. So I'm all about trying something new to eat, for sure. And I have to swing my vote from the molten lava cake to the chocolate chip cookie skillet. But if you guys know our friend of the show who's conducting this poll, Jennifer Sacco, you can head over to Jen's timeline and you can find the poll. It was posted up about 6 hours ago. Give it a vote. Let her know where you're in. Yeah, Rick, I know. I'm hungry again too now, right? you guys in chat are killing me. All over the chocolate chip. Yeah, me too now, Ron. Me too, buddy.
Hashtag, so anyway. Hashtag me too, yo.
Hashtag you too, yo, huh? All right. We're getting lots of love out there for the chocolate chip cookie skillet. Wow. Yeah, I'm going to real quick while we're here talking about it. I'm gonna type her an update real quick. Okay, so everybody seems to be down for the cookie skillet, and that's what I just told her, is that everybody in the chat is busting up on the cookie skillet. So we'll see if we get a reply back during the show. I don't know, Jess, if you're listening, I see you out there, girl. I see you. All right, so let's press on. Now we'll get back into the scripted part of the program, if you will. That takes care of the impromptu type stuff. Look, even before we get rolling, Iran's still thumping their chest, acting like they're King Kong, when we know they're really just a 40-pound chimpanzee. Don't get me wrong, it's still a strong animal, but it's not the 400-pound gorilla in the room. And we're not going to be too worried about Iran, but if we can avoid it, we want to see, you know, no war. And Jeff, welcome to chat. 6.66. I'm liking that. You need to keep that number right there, buddy. All right. So President Trump presented his proposal to overhaul the immigration system in what is considered the first major overhaul of the U.S. legal admissions policy in 54 years. Now, his proposal abolishes the visa lottery system and prioritizes highly skilled and educated immigrants over lower skilled labor. President Trump called the proposal pro-American, pro-immigrant, and pro-worker. He said his plan achieves two critical goals, stopping illegal immigration and securing the border. Let's stop right there. Let's just stop right there. Fu is in the chat room. Oh, Lord, we are going now. Hey, Sam, tell him about Chat Lives while you're in there, would you please? And here we go. So we're going to stop here because it doesn't matter how we change the immigration policies. It doesn't. Okay. You can change immigration policies. That's right, Sam. Thank you. Thank you, Sam. You can change the rules. They're still going to break the rules. Okay, that's how this works. That's how it's always worked. You want to know why they're going to break the rules? They're going to break the rules because they know once they get in, they're in. And once they're in, they have access to free money. That's free to them. That's your money and my money. That's our money. And we're paying them to come here illegally because our government is too weak to do anything about it. So what's going to really stem the flow of immigration, of illegal immigration? We don't want to stem the flow of immigration. We want good immigrants. Okay, but here's the thing. When you come to this country, you need to be able to sustain yourself for 10 years without trying to claim any benefits, that's welfare, that's WIC, that's whatever. It doesn't matter. Medicaid, it doesn't matter. You're entitled to nothing in the benefit chain for 10 years. That proves that you have the skills to sustain yourself and support your family. All right, we're going to press on with what the president said here. He said it establishes a new legal immigration system that protects American wages, promotes American values, and attracts the best and brightest from around the world. Why wouldn't we want the best and the brightest to immigrate here? If we don't have people in the United States that are willing or qualified to do the jobs, and there are qualified immigrants, we should get them here. If you have a proper claim, the president said, you will be quickly admitted. If you don't, you will be promptly returned home. Crucially, the plan closes loopholes in federal law to make clear that gang members and criminals are inadmissible. There are some of the worst people in the world, or anywhere in the world, in MS-13 and other gangs. They would be non-admissible, not coming in, taking them out by the thousands every year, but they come right back. They're no longer admissible. And for criminals already here, swift deportation per Trump. Each year, over 1 million immigrants are granted permanent legal residency. These green card holders get lifetime authorization to live and work here and a 5-year path to American citizenship. Citizenship, because it means something, or it should mean something. If you're not interested in becoming a citizen, you shouldn't be allowed here. But two-thirds of the immigrants that make it into this country annually are admitted at random. And that's not the way to do this. Look, even Canada, okay? Canada creates a clear path for the top talent. Okay? Now, also, Canada admits a lot of people, just like we do. We don't get credit for the number of people we admit to this country annually. Democrats would have you believe that we only let in about 100 or so. The last thing they want to do is go on TV and tell you it's over 1 million every year. So if somebody graduates from the top of their class from a college abroad, from a great college abroad, and there are some great colleges overseas. Yeah, I know. Hard to believe. We don't have the monopoly on great colleges here in the United States. Hard to believe, right? But they would get the top priority. We want to keep them here. Companies are moving offices to other countries to get these workers. Because our rules prevent them from retaining the highly skilled and even, you know, brilliant people. The U.S. discriminates against brilliance. It does. From the government side of immigration, it does. It's just a different form of socialism. It's socialism via immigration. Oh, well, these poor people need to come in here and get our free benefits and take up all your tax dollar monies. Because the ones that are capable of earning a living where they're at can just stay and earn a living where they're at. They don't need to come in. What kind of crap is that? That's the worst. So look, the biggest change in this policy is to increase the proportion of highly skilled immigrants from 12% to 57% or even higher, according to the president. This will bring us in line with what other countries do globally to make us competitive. At the same time, we prioritize the immediate family of new Americans, their spouses and children. So, I mean, this is his merit-based system. He's been touting it for a while. And you guys in chat are just having way too much fun. Fu and Ordy are spatting. Jeff is chastising Fu. And Al says that she's scared. I ain't ever seen her scared. I ain't saying she isn't, but I'm saying I've never seen it. So anyway, we got the president proposing formally now, I guess, his merit-based immigration system. And all that the Democrats can do is talk about how the term merit-based, it's just so terrible sounding. It denigrates the less fortunate. That's all Pelosi can say about it. You know, she refuses to admit that it's a good plan because it's Trump's. That's the whole catch. It's Trump's plan. So guys, if you know, I know all you guys in chat, you guys know Tom, my TNT life Tom. Yeah, y'all know Tom with the terrible food takes. Yes, the same Tom. Tom is apparently team lava cake over team cookie skillet. Apparently we need to issue some help to Tom. working on it, telling the chat lives group. Okay. So you guys try to beat some sense into Tom. You know, Tom doesn't eat chicken. Tom doesn't like chicken. It's Tom, okay? And Tom's probably not even listening right now because he's talking to Jen. But y'all need to help him out. The boy needs some help. The boy needs some help. And this is too funny. Okay. Oh. No, Al, he doesn't like chicken. Apparently he had an incident where he got some food poisoning from chicken like 25 years ago, so he's just refused to ever eat chicken again since then. It's crazy, I know. Anyway, it I've got Tom on the thread now here, and yeah. No chicken Tom. He's on it. Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That boy ain't right. Okay. Let me back out of this because I'll get too wrapped up in this. And let's get back to business here. Okay. So look, that's enough with the merit-based immigration. Eric's in chat. How we doing, Eric? All right. Let's see. What's next? Well, we mentioned Iran briefly, didn't we? Yes, we did. We got to talk about them because Iran has quadrupled its production of enriched uranium amid tensions with the U.S. over Tehran's unraveling nuclear accord. I don't know what a semi-official news agency is, but two of them apparently reported on Monday, just after President Trump and Iran's foreign minister traded threats and taunts. While the reports said the production of its uranium enriched only to the 3.67% limit set by the 2015 nuclear deal that Tehran reached with world powers, it means that Iran soon will go beyond the stockpile limitations established by the accord. This follows days of heightened tensions sparked by the Trump administration's deployment of bombers and an aircraft carrier to the Persian Gulf. Yeah, I don't want to go back over there. Over still unspecified threats. Well, they weren't unspecified. They made threats, okay? JC's in chat. Starting to get some chat lives in there. I think y'all still suck, though. Y'all got to get better. Y'all got to get better if you don't want me to side with Fu. And that's what it's going to be. I mean, we got to know. So far this month, officials in the United Arab Emirates allege that four oil tankers sustained damage in a sabotage attack. Yemeni rebels allied with Iran launched a drone attack on oil pipeline in Saudi Arabia, and U.S. diplomats relayed a warning that commercial airlines could be misidentified by Iran and attacked, something that Tehran then dismissed. Really? Yeah, I see Eric. Really, Eric? Yeah, really. We got to have more people in here. If y'all don't want to be chat live suck, y'all got to pick up the game. Somebody's got to drag Andrew's ass in there and get him and some more people. Let's go. Let's go. I'll start giving you guys credit when it's there. I really will. I'm not like Sam. I'll do it right. But you got to earn it. Anyway, with all these tensions, there's the culmination of Trump's decision a year ago. Well, they say these tensions. I love this, okay? They're trying to blame Trump's year-old decision to pull out of the Iran nuclear deal for these tensions that are occurring now. if pulling out of the deal was going to cause a problem, it would have caused it long before now. It's just, you know, let's be realistic about it. Okay. So both the semi-official Fars and Tasnim news agencies, okay, they're not, see, these are Iranian news agencies. That's why they were calling them semi-official, because these aren't state-run. So Fars and Tasnim news agencies reported on the quadrupled production, quoting Behrouz Kamalvandi, the spokesman of Iran's nuclear agency. He said the increase in production of 3.67% enriched uranium does not mean Iran increased the number of centrifuges it has in use, another requirement of the deal. He said Iran, in weeks, would reach the 300-kilogram limit set by the nuclear deal. So they're saying they're going to shut down because they don't want to violate the deal. Hope you brought your chapstick, Jeff. Trump's tweet early Monday came just hours after a Katyusha rocket fell in Baghdad's heavily fortified green zone near the statue of the unknown soldier, less than 1 mile from the U.S. embassy. Luckily, there were no injuries, but, you know, Iraqi military spokesman Brigadier General Yahya Razul told the Associated Press that the rocket was believed to have been fired from eastern Baghdad. The area is home to Iran-backed Shiite militias. If Iran wants to fight, then that will be the official end of Iran, Trump tweeted. Never threaten the United States again. And, you know, of course, Iran thumped their chest and threatened right back. That's just how the game's played. Trump's tweet reflects what has been a strategy of alternating tough talk with more conciliatory statements that are aimed at keeping Iran guessing at the administration's intentions. This administration had taken a surprisingly hard line toward Iran by rushing to deploy the aircraft carrier group and other military assets to the region, and have not yet publicly detailed as to what else they are in response to. But he also said he was hoping the Islamic Republic would sit down to negotiate. He described this approach in a speech Friday, saying it's probably a good thing because they're saying, man, I don't know where these people are coming from, right? But Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif, and we've talked about him before on this program, responded Monday tweeting that Trump had been goaded into genocidal taunts. Zarif referenced both Alexander the Great and Genghis Khan as two historical leaders that Persia outlasted. Sometimes you just have to wonder where these people's heads are. I mean, really. And, gonna compare Genghis Khan's club that he carried on his horse and his axe that he carried while on his horse to a nuclear warhead strapped onto a tomahawk coming at them, you know, sky ablaze. But, hey, what do I know, right? They'll get old Baghdad Bob out there harping again about how they're beating back the enemy and those satanistic Americans are never coming into the city. And, yeah, there we were right in the background rolling up behind them. So, anyway, continuing on here, I know Rick's getting anxious to press a break button. Iran has said it would begin backing away from terms of the deal, setting a July 7th deadline for Europe to come up with new terms, or it would begin enriching uranium closer to weapons-grade levels. Tehran long insisted it does not seek nuclear weapons, though the West fears its program could allow it to build them. British Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt told journalists in Geneva that Iran should not doubt the U.S. resolve, warning that if America interests are attacked, they will retaliate. Now, why is a British foreign secretary speaking on our behalf? That's what I want to know. Okay. Look, I know John Bolton is hawkish when it comes to the military and the military complex and actually putting our assets in action. But if Iran escalates, you're damn right. We should go full throttle on them. And I don't mean send 10,000 guys over there and have them advance strategically. I mean, we should turn that place into a giant ashtray. Now, everybody's claiming they want a diplomatic solution and they don't want things escalated, yada, yada, yada. Hey, Rick, I'll tell you what. We still got a good bit of this left. Let's go ahead and take the break, and we'll continue this when we come back. Just remember, Hunt is speaking for America right now, and we'll see you in about two.
I pulled an audible with the break, so hang tight for a second. That'll make sense.
Okay. I got you.
China, the Chinese chicken. You have a drumstick and your brain stops sticking. Watching X-Files with no lights on, with all our maisons. I hope the smoking man's in this one like Harrison Ford.
Special offer for listeners of this station. Are you a man over 40? Are you constantly looking for the nearest bathroom? Do you wake up multiple times a night to use the bathroom? Right now, Perfect Prostate is sending out free bottles of their groundbreaking new formula to listeners of this station. Perfect Prostate formula was developed by medical doctor Mitchell Fleischer, and its ingredients have been clinically studied to reduce your frequent nighttime bathroom visits and promote healthy urine flow. Right now, preferred customers get their first bottle of Perfect Prostate absolutely free. There's nothing to lose. Perfect Prostate is guaranteed to reduce that constant urge to use the bathroom, especially at night, and promote healthy urine flow. Don't wait. Call now for your free bottle. Just pay shipping and processing. Dial 1-800-675-0251. That's 1-800-675-0251. Supplies are limited. One free bottle per household. Call now. Dial 1-800-675-0251. That's 1-800-675-0251.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps stand ready to defend the American way of life. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Hey folks, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine, Dr. Richard Hardin. We are on the same mission, which is waking up America. We just have different paths. So stay tuned for some information on how you can keep up with Richard and all his work.
Visit Richard's website at rahardin.com. That's the World Wide Web at rahardin.com. At his website, you can see a summary of the 6 books he has written, where purchases may be made. He also has a link to 18 videos on YouTube and several blogs about Christian beliefs. If you prefer, visit amazon.com/Kindle and type in Richard Hardin to see and purchase his books.
One, two, what you doing? I've been jumping through some hoops. Wanna get my body loose? Wanna tell you what to do?
All right, welcome back. We are in there. While you guys were away at break, we had all kinds of foxhole issues in the chat room. I hope somebody gets that straightened out. I'm sure somebody could use an exam. Anyway, when we left off, this British foreign minister, what's his name? Jeremy Hunt was stepping up to speak for the U.S. military and our resolve. Again, I don't know why this British foreign minister was doing this, but anyway, meanwhile, Oman's Minister of State for Foreign Affairs made a previously unannounced visit to Tehran on Monday, seeing Zarif, the state-run IRNA news agency, reported. The visit by Yusuf bin Alawi comes after U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo called Oman's Sultan Qaboos bin Said last week. Oman has long served as a Western back channel to Tehran, and the Sultanate hosted the secret talks between U.S. and Oman that laid the groundwork for the nuclear deal negotiations. A lot going on over there, folks. I'm going to tell you what. In Saudi Arabia, the kingdom's military intercepted two missiles fired by the Iranian-allied Houthi rebels in neighboring Yemen. The missiles were intercepted over the city of Taif and the Red Sea port of Jeddah. The Saudi-owned satellite channel Al Arabiya reported, citing witnesses. The Saudi government has yet to acknowledge the missile fire, which other Saudi media also reported. Hundreds of rockets, mortar rounds, and ballistic missiles have been fired into the kingdom since a Saudi-led coalition declared war on the Houthis in March of 2015 to support Yemen's internationally recognized government. The Houthis' Al-Masira satellite news channel denied that the rebels had any involvement with this round of rocket fire. So I suppose it just spelled differently, Sharko, spelled differently. Sorry about that. They're expecting people to believe that these rockets just crept up out of the ground and fired themselves towards the kingdom. I don't know. Between the two targeted cities is Mecca, home to the cube-shaped Kaaba that Muslims pray towards five times a day. Many religious pilgrims are in the city for the Muslim holy fasting month of Ramadan. So, yeah, no blowfish, Eric, no blowfish. Yeah. Jeff earning the 666. I like it, Jeff. Keep going. So anyway, that's what's going on overseas. Now, what's going on back home? The big stink of the week, if you will. Congressman Justin Amash, or Amash, if you will, has doubled down on his criticism of President Trump, writing a series of tweets arguing his case for impeachment based on obstruction of justice. Now, we're gonna talk about something that the news media has yet to bring up that I have seen. I have yet to see it anywhere on any channel, so we're going to get to it in just a minute. We're going to keep going right now. Amash said, people who say there were no underlying crimes and therefore the president could not have intended to illegally obstruct the investigation and therefore cannot be impeached are resting their argument on several falsehoods, he tweeted. He then tweeted various claims made by Trump and his defenders and his arguments against them, such as the claim that there was no underlying crime and that Trump should be allowed to end any federal investigation. Now, Amash claims that, in fact, there were many crimes revealed by the investigation, some of which were charged and some of which were not, but are nonetheless described in Mueller's report. In fact, obstruction of justice does not require the prosecution of an underlying crime, and there is a logical reason for that. Prosecutors might not charge a crime precisely because obstruction of justice denied them timely access to evidence that could lead to a prosecution. These are all Amash's words here, not mine. He continued that if an underlying crime were required, then prosecutors could charge obstruction of justice only if it were unsuccessful in completely obstructing the investigation. This would make no sense. He also addressed the argument that high crimes and misdemeanors must refer a statutory crime or misdemeanor. In fact, high crimes and misdemeanors is not defined in the Constitution and does not require corresponding statutory charges, he said. The context implies conduct that violates the public trust, and that view is echoed by the framers of the Constitution and early American scholars. Don't you love it when these jackwagons, trying to keep it PG tonight, these jackwagons try to twist the Constitution for their own personal gain? And I know you're sitting there and you're thinking, what do you mean personal gain? Well, that's, we're going to go back up to the top where I told you we were going to discuss this a little further. Amash has always been critical of President Trump since day one. He's a never Trumper. Okay. He is. He just, that's him. And, as it happens, Amash is considering trying to primary Trump in 2020. He thinks that he can launch a campaign against an incumbent president of the same. He would have to go in the same party. I mean, really, what else is he going to do? He can't. I mean, I guess he could declare as a Democrat, but how's that going to go over? He's going to have to declare as a Republican and try to primary Trump out.
Not necessarily. He's going to declare as an independent.
Well, that's even worse because then he'll never get the federal funding he needs.
Well, I'm not saying it's a good plan, but that's from talking to some people that I know that are a bit inside baseball, that's his plan.
Well, we shall see. I think that that would be an even more foolish plan. Unless his plan is to simply not win and split the vote enough that the Democrat does.
Yeah.
And if that's what he...
That's his thinking. But there's another take on that. This may actually put other places and states back in play for Trump because, let's face it, Trump's base isn't going anywhere. So
no,
if Amash runs as an independent, he's likely to pull more conservative-minded independents and some of the Republicans that wouldn't even necessarily vote for Trump and maybe even some Democrats from states like Michigan, and they may put Michigan back in play for Trump by the time it's all over.
Well, that's an interesting take. I can see that happening on some level. I wish that Amash would just be forthright with, you know, his intentions and why he's doing this instead of trying to play it off like, I'm saving the Constitution, get my cape. But, you know, that's just me, and that's just my opinion, and that's why we're here, right? You want to hear my opinion. Screw everybody else. Yeah, right. Anyway, let's see. What do we have after Amash? Oh, yeah. Look, this snuck out this week, and to very, very little attention, I barely saw anybody even talk about this, let alone even notice it. New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft and his legal team scored a stunning victory Monday evening as prosecutors filed a motion for a stay of proceedings, effectively admitting that they can no longer proceed with their case. Now, you'll remember Kraft was caught at the massage parlor in Jupiter, Florida after the Super Bowl, you know, receiving some kind of, shall we call it, oral resuscitation technique.
Wait, are we talking about, never mind. There's a certain member of the chat talking about making $50 repeatedly right now, so I'm just wondering. Never mind.
Yes, we're talking about that. I didn't know how far you wanted me to go or not go because you're the boss. I didn't know if you could say that even though Kraft looks to be dead, he was still getting head. I don't know. I don't know where the line is. So
you are lucky I didn't have a rim shot queued up for that one. That was perfect.
let's just say that the I'm not going to call the lady a prostitute because I'm sure that she was doing everything voluntarily and all on the up and up. But let's just say she was working extra hard on his valve stem to get that tire inflated. And, you know, I mean, look, here's the thing. They thought they had a slam dunk case, and now they're tucking tail and running away from it. Sources familiar with the development dismissed outright any likelihood the case against Kraft, the two misdemeanor counts of solicitation of prostitution in connection with a video sting operation that the police conducted, can somehow be resuscitated, is the word they used. Alex Spiro, one of Kraft's attorneys, said that the prosecution lost every motion and all of their evidence, and they conceded that they could not move forward and that they have, in effect, waved the white flag. Monday's developments followed a series of setbacks for the prosecution. On May 13th, the judge in the case, 15th Florida Circuit Court Judge Leonard Hanser, ruled a surveillance video of the alleged sex acts was inadmissible in court. Hanser ruled that the video could not be used against Kraft because in executing the warrant that authorized the secret recordings or activities at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa and Massage, law enforcement failed to protect the rights of innocent individuals whose images might also be recorded. Wow. Wow. Initially, Kraft was expected to appear in court Tuesday so Hanser could set a court date. Earlier Monday, it was reported the hearing had been postponed to give prosecutors a chance to appeal his ruling on the video. Then news emerged that prosecutors had filed the motion for a stay of proceedings. That stay puts the case on hold indefinitely, but those familiar with the tactic indicate that it is a de facto exoneration of Kraft. So David Weinstein, a Miami-based lawyer who previously worked as an assistant U.S. attorney, he gave an interview to the Wall Street Journal where he said the appeal by prosecutors is very unlikely to succeed. He said calling it a Hail Mary is generous. Kraft's legal team apparently shares that view. And Spiro said, the case is over. A stunning reversal for prosecutors who were simply unable to proceed with the case without actual evidence of what happened inside the establishment Kraft reportedly visited. And I guess we have to say allegedly visited or reportedly visited because there's no video proof that can be viewed now. So apparently that video proof violates the legal rights of the innocent that may or may not be on it. One reason prosecutors might have thrown in the towel, a second judge's ruling in a related case on Monday involving two individuals allegedly caught on tape providing sexual services, Judge Joseph Marks concurred the video in that case would allow or would also be not admissible because of the rights of other customers that were not adequately protected. So Robert Kraft dodging the bullet will not face charges. I didn't even see my New England Patriot fans that are friends out there talking about this. So it just it's really something to see. So anyway, chat lives, you were here. I can't say you were great, but I can say you didn't suck. How about that? Chat lives are middling right now. You can do better. But anyway, that's the show tonight. If you like it, tell your friends. If your friends like it, you need new ones. But they and you are welcome here with me every week on KLRN Radio for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. I'm your host, The Grouch. Peace.
One, two, what you doing? I've been jumping through some hoops. Want to get my body loose. Want to tell you what to do.
I hate this place. Nothing works here. Medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years.
To us.